Jesus Christ. My name is Wirapong Harichakun, Billy, an FEBC graduate. I am a Lahu from Chiang Rai, Northern Thailand. I would like to share with you how the Lord has been gracious and merciful to save a wretched tribal man like me and give me the privilege to serve him in the full-time ministry. I was brought up in a Christian family. From young, my sister and I were taken by our parents to Sunday school. The reason we went to Sunday school was because we did not want to be caned by our parents. I learned at Sunday school that Jesus Christ loves us and He died for us. When I grew up, going to church gave me no pleasure at all. I did not understand why people went to church and always do the same thing every Sunday. They sing hymns, pray, read the scriptures, and eat meals together. The preaching of God's word was not exciting at all. Heaven and hell, sin and its consequences were hardly preached. However, I still went to church for the sake of going. Because I wanted to maintain my religious identity as a Christian. In 1998, in my first year at college, a man from Youth for Christ asked me whether I would go to heaven if I die. I did not know what to say. Then he shared with me from Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I sincerely believe this. However, I continued to sin, thinking that it was all right, since I already had a ticket to heaven. I continued to enjoy the world, thinking that all would be well. But God forbid that I should live in sin. Hebrews 12 verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. In the last semester of college, in 2001, I was struck down with TB in my lungs. I thought I was going to die. I prayed to God to spare my life, and I would surely serve Him. The Lord was merciful. After 6 months of medication, I was completely healed. Moreover, God provided me a job in a Christian missionary school. However, when things went well, God was forgotten. I forgot my vow. I thought everything was fine with me because I had a stable job with a steady income. But God never forgets. He sent a mission team from Karitanga BP Church in 2003. And that time, I was reminded of my vow to serve Him. Elder Boaz Boone asked me, what would you do if you were not a teacher? Something prompted me to answer, I want to serve the Lord and study His word. Then he prayed for me. One day, God revealed me through my uncle. He asked me what I would do for my Lahu people instead of living a selfish life. Moreover, my sister Waruni, who was at the time studying in FEBC, told me not to waste my time, but to study God's word with her at the college. Thereafter, I was much in trouble. I had no peace in my heart. I did not know what to do. I prayed to God that if it was His will for me to serve Him full time, to show me clearly. Thank God, he answered my prayer. In 2004, he opened the door for me to study in FEBC. I thank God for seeing me through and calling me to serve him full-time among my own Lahu people. What can I do to repay God's grace, mercy, and love for a wretched sinner like me? I must be thankful and faithful to him and obey his word. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let me burn out for my Lord all the days of my life. I believe this is God's will for me. Dear friends, will you also serve the Lord? God has purpose in saving sinners like me. He desires all saved sinners to serve him. Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? To God be the glory. Amen.
Truly, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Tonight we have God's servant, Reverend Dr. Kosi. He will speak on the title, The Sweet By and By. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. That is the theme. We have to think of the coming end of our lives. What are you doing with your life? Welcome to our pulpit again, Reverend Das Koshi. May the Lord speak to us through you. Welcome.
Let us pray. Mighty God, our everlasting Father, we bow our heads before Thee and we come to Thy presence through Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that when we approach Thee in the name of Thy Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Thou will never forsake us. We thank you that your ears are inclined to our prayers. So, Lord, we seek thy blessings upon our souls tonight. Grant us focus, the power to meditate upon your word, the power to receive, the power to appropriate thy truth. We need thy truth abundantly. We need the light of thy truth to walk in this dark world. We need the comfort and solace that thy promises bring to us. O Lord, comfort every heart according to thy gracious word. This is our prayer, and may we rejoice in your help. With thanksgiving in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please open your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Normally we hear of this chapter as the chapter of heroes of faith, and that is correct. Men of great faith who walked on this earth are listed here, particularly men of the Old Testament. Now these men are to be an example in our life, in our walk with the Lord. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob received God's promises. They were promised of the beautiful land of milk and honey. Nonetheless, they could not inherit it. They died believing that hope, that promise will come to pass one day. So they were not concerned about when it will be theirs or their children's. They believed in God. But there was a greater expectation in their hearts. So even though when God promised them of a land on this earth, they knew of a greater promise that God has for them, the heavenly city. So if you were to look at some of these verses that I'm going to bring to attention, you will see them. Please look at verses 9 and 10. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then when we come to verse 13, we read, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now let me read verses 15 and 16. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Sweet by and by is the title that is chosen for this evening's meditation from God's Word. But we know that title is found in our revival hymns, and Sister Deborah May sang that song just a while ago so beautifully. Now this song was written by Sanford Bennett. And I had a quick look into the background of this hymn. In fact, you can read that in the famous cyberhymnal.org in the internet. Now, I was thinking that probably the author has taken a very long time to write this. But it all happened in this way, according to the story narrated by the author himself. He had a good friend with the name Joseph Webster, who gave music to this song. But this gentleman, Joseph Webster, was a very depressed soul. In fact, many of the musicians of that era suffered from such a melancholic spirit. I know not why that happened. Many of them were rather moody and sad. And Bennett knew that this man has such a disposition. And when he appeared in his office, Bennett looked at Webster's face, and Webster turned away, looked the opposite direction. And he saw a shadow of sadness as he was turning. So he asked, "What's the matter, Webster?" "Well," he said, "well, after a while, I should be okay. All things will be okay by and by." By and by. Suddenly that captured the mind of Bennett. And there, all the knowledge of God's word rushed into his mind. By and by, we shall be in that better land. in that glorious land, in the sweat, by and by. And within half an hour, he penned the entire hymn and gave it to Webster. He took his violin and played the tune. And the song was then broadcast to everyone. So today we sing that song. But it came from a very depressing mood, but created by the knowledge of the promise of the Lord concerning the celestial city He is preparing for us. Dear friends, we Christians are a very special people on this earth. And I say that with great joy. And the uniqueness and the special blessing that we have has nothing to do with our inheritance on this earth. It has everything to do with our assurance of the things to come. On this earth, by faith, we persevere. We persevere through all sorts of experiences. Because we know, however difficult our journey be on this earth, no matter who would rid us of all the material blessings that we have because of our faith, no one can snatch away what Jesus has promised to us, even our eternal inheritance in the glory land that God has prepared. So we persevere through our difficulties. Faith of God's elect continues and abides. We have an eternal life, for the eternal Son of God has come to give us life. And as long as we live and abide in that eternal Son of God, we have an undying hope. That's what eternal life is all about. Yes, in this world, we will be reminded time and time again that we are strangers and pilgrims. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. Now, let me take your attention now straight away to verse 15 of Hebrews 11. There we read about Abraham and other patriarchs that now they desire... Sorry, verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Let's consider this verse to begin our devotion this evening. We are told that indeed there's an opportunity for every believer to go back to the worldly life on earth, the sinful lifestyle of this earth. Well, if you were to apply this verse to Abraham's life, we know God has called him out of the land of the Chaldeans, from among idol worshipping relatives of his. And God called him out to worship the living God and to inherit the promises in Christ Jesus, that in his seed all nations shall be blessed. And he believed in the gracious call of God and set out from that idol worshipping land to a new land on earth. The promised land, as we say, the land of the Israelites. But this journey was not to end with the promised land on earth. He knew that is only a journey through which God would mold him and shape him and increase his faith and hope so that finally he may be gathered up to heaven. You know, the Lord has actually promised us many wonderful things even on this earth. For instance, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, that doesn't mean we just become so excited about the things that God will give on this earth and we get stuck to it. What He's saying that, well, as you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, these things will be given to you for your earthly needs and sustenance. But there, it doesn't end. It goes beyond that. So Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were thankful for all the provisions that God has given in their earthly journey. Nonetheless, they did not allow their hearts and minds to become earthly. They were given opportunity, as verse 15 says. Now that word opportunity reminds us of all sorts of strong influences, incentives, provocations and solicitations that this world gives to us to go back to its abode. No Christian who has set out in his journey of faith will be free from such temptations. There will be always many sorts of influence and provocations in this world to think less of our heavenly home and more of this world. Well, it is a wonder of wonders that you and I have not gone back to the world with its sinful pleasures and its idolatrous customs that is so attractive to our sinful nature. Is really a miracle of miracles that we are still persevering in faith. And I want to tell you this without a tinge of doubt. Dear friends, when we consider the weakness of our nature, the gullibility that is within us, it is a wonder of God's grace that keeps us away from going back to sinful world. We are never left alone to journey through without hindrances or distractions. The devil, our adversary, is constantly plotting to hinder us and to distract us from looking toward heaven. He does everything to make us earthly people. The tempter that he is, the destroyer that he would be, if not for God's grace, he would have already swallowed us by now. Oh, praise the Lord for His grace. There are so many opportunities to return into the parlor of worldly pleasures. Now, by the way, it can't be in your kitchens, those opportunities to go back to the world. It can't be in your bedroom. It can be in the schools that you study. It's everywhere in this world. It can be in the midst of our toiling in the field that the devil come with his terrible plots. He will call out to every Christian to go after him. Our temptations are very disturbing at times. I dare say this, just as he tried to tempt our Savior with the glittering glories of this world, he would do the same with you and me. To make us think this world is everything. I sigh to think of many that appeared to be very earnest Christians who have become very dull and cold now that they have grown rich and increased in goods. Now I want to therefore sound out a warning to all of you, my dear friends, whom the Lord has been gracious to bless with material goods. How often does it happen in this land of ours that when a poor Christian is blessed with material things, he starts worshipping the things that God has given to him and forget to follow the Lord with a sincere heart? How many times have I seen many young people who have been made rich refuse to sacrifice the things that they possess? Like the rich young ruler, they love the possession they have and refuse to hear the bidding of Christ, the Savior. Luxury often comes up and shows its abundance and make our heart to swell with vanity. If any of you are prospering in this world, oh, watch, for you are in imminent danger of being mindful to return to the place whence you came out. When I was growing up in India, I always enjoyed the preaching of a very old preacher. When I was 20, he was 87, I think. And I loved his preaching. He's a very passionate old Indian preacher. And I used to sit before him with my mouth open. And he was always very, very exciting to listen to. I missed his preaching, really. Now, anyway, he used to tell us, young people, you know, when you first start following the Lord, the devil will come and make it all very difficult for you. He will make your friends to laugh at you. He will bring persecution. He will take away your comfort and make it all very difficult, so you find it hard to follow Christ. But you take up the cross and follow him. Then the devil will change his tactic. You know what he will do? He will give you everything you need. He will give you every pleasure that the world can give, and you get stuck with it. And the devil wins. How true this is. Some of you have found Sunset Gospel Hour as an escape. Now, I'm not against your coming to Sunset Gospel Hour. I pray that more would come. But this is not a substitute for your love and worship of God early in the morning on the Lord's Day. This is not a leftover hour. It is not for you to work the whole day of worship and then just to please the Lord appear all of a sudden. That's it, I did it. Where have you been? What is that keeping you away from serving the Lord? Have you gone back to the idolatrous country from which the Lord has saved you? Have you gone back to worship the idols, the material god of this world? We cannot be like that if you are serving our Savior. If you are heading toward the celestial city, well, nothing in this world can hold us back. Now, if you have not been tempted to such an extent yet, there will be such times in the near future. Such temptations of the adversary can come up when you least expect. Can be very instant, very fast. And all of a sudden, it will devour you. So, brothers and sisters, if we were to take such opportunities, oh, my dear friends, think of what we are going to lose. I pray that whatever backsliding has fallen into your life is not a real sign of your eternal departure from the grace of God. Repent! Enough! No more sliding back! Stop it now! Now, I say! We don't belong to that company of people who are running away from our Savior's promise. We want to be in the band of the pilgrims who are heading toward heaven. Not in the company of those who slide back into worldliness and materialism. Let us be in the company of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and many more millions who have, by faith, pursued and persevered in their faith. Secondly, as God's people, saved by His grace, we cannot take any opportunity to go back because we desire something better than we could get by returning to that country from whence we came out. We desire something better than the world can offer to us. And that's why we read in verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. They desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Brethren, Christians, listen to this. The pilgrims, as we are, our hearts are set upon a better country. We have great ambitions. Nothing in this dead world satisfies us. This world of death and misery satisfies dead hearts that has not been renewed and revived by the eternal life of Christ. But those who have received the eternal life of Jesus Christ are awakened to desire with great hope of a country that He prepares for us. Nothing in this world is desirable. Nothing is comely. We look for better things. We look for better realities. Have you ever felt very contented with earthly things? Have you been so fooled to think that the vanities of this earth would satisfy our souls? Well, my dear friends, everything in this world is described by Solomon as vanity of vanities. We shouldn't spend the rest of our life working for the vanity of vanities. All God's saints would confess that, Lord, take the world away and give me the hope of heaven. Now, you know, sometimes when you listen to some people in the church praying, you would wonder what they're praying. You know, they pray as though They want everything in the world. Oh Lord, give me that, give me this, give me that, give me this. At the end, they pray nothing about the heavenly realities. They never prayed that the hearts would be fixed upon the things above, but they prayed at the end, Lord, make me a person of this world. Let this world be mine. And you don't feel like saying Amen at the end, because they asked all this in Jesus' name. Well, I'm not saying we can't ask for earthly comforts, but even when we ask for it, we don't ask for it as though we can never be satisfied if His providence wouldn't give it to us. We will always say, Lord, if it is Your will, then give it to me. If not, it's fine. Just keep me by Your grace all the way. That's how we should be praying. Now, I felt that if the Lord were to tell me, you shall have all the world, and that shall be your portion, I would be tempted to say, Lord, please, take this whole thing away and just take me to heaven. Just bring me there. I don't want this. Surely, all true saints of God would have that aspiration in their heart. We will say, oh Lord, no. Do not put me off with these earthly presents. Don't let me feed on these husks. Oh Lord, I don't want the mountains of gold of this world, but bring me to that glorious land. I am ready to depart at your bidding, anytime. Oh Lord, thy presence is so much more glorious and wonderful than anything this world can offer. Oh Lord, give me thyself and thy presence and the hope that you have given to me, and take these all away. Have you ever heard people praying like that in the church prayer meeting? Oh. Did you notice the phrase in verse 16? How it began? Now they what? Desire a better country. Better than Singapore. Better than the best part of Singapore. I am sure if a saint has been so graciously permitted by God to live in the costliest portion of Singapore, he would tell you gladly, it is no different from any part of the world. I just spend my money unwisely. It's still the same. Heaven is far better. Even if you make a palace in this world and have all the modern comforts in it, a truly born again soul will never be comfortable in it. His heart will be desiring for the mansions above, because it is better. Now, why is it better? Well, some people say, I can't wait to walk in the golden street. I can't wait to feel the pearly gates. They are still so covetous, thinking about gold and pearls. That's not the reason we get to golden street. It is to meet our Savior face to face. It is to be in His presence. It is to be with the one who said, I will be your God now and forever. Of course, all the extras are things that beautify heaven and tells us of the glories of God. But we don't worship those things. We don't desire just those things, but the very presence of God. If you were to carefully look into verse 16, The word country is in italics. That's not in the original text. The King James translators help us to make some sense there. But it reads, but now they desire a better that is heavenly. Not about the country, but about the things that God has prepared for us, even His very presence. How wonderful is that, my dear friends? Now, someone might say when you walk through this world, oh, this piece of land looked like a little paradise. Will you get excited over that? No, sometimes when you turn on the TV to watch news or this or that, then you see all these new condominiums being advertised. Wow. Your eyes will be stuck to that. Really? In Singapore, there's such a nice building? Wow. Yeah, only for your eyes for that few seconds. Go and live there. A few days later, you will think, it is not different at all. But let me tell you, there is no paradise on this side of the sky. Nothing is worth calling paradise. For the child of God, this is not their home. Paradise is still on the other side. And we wait to be with the Lord. Yes. We Christians have a stronger, sharper, more vehement desire for a nobler life in the presence of God, where there is no sin, where there is no sickness, where there is no death, but the everlasting presence of our eternal God. Dear brethren, let us cultivate these desires more and more. So when our time of departure will come, we will be happy to lay down, gather our feet, and tell our friends and relatives, sweet by and by, follow me to the land that I'm going. I'll see you there, in that fairer land that Christ has prepared for me. We don't mourn and weep. Oh, I'm going. I don't want to go. No, I don't want to go. No such thing. We will say, farewell, my dear friends. Farewell. I shall soon see you in the land that Christ has prepared. So get ready to follow Christ, whom I have followed. So we vehemently resist every opportunity to go back to this world. We won't allow our heart to desire the things of this world in such a way that it would hinder our expectation of Christ and His eternal presence. We will make sure by the grace of God, and surely there will be plenty of grace to help us through this, that we will desire earnestly for the beautiful place that Christ has prepared for us, that we may enjoy His presence. Finally, let's also take note at the end of verse 16. We have a wonderful promise. And I would say this is the sweetest part of the text. Because here we have a great and blessed assurance, vouchsafed to us as an acknowledgement on the part of God. What does it say? Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Wow. God is not ashamed to call their God. Whose God? Those who said farewell to the world and has set their sight on the heaven's shore. And God is so happy to be known as their God. He is the Redeemer. Because they are not running away from Him. They are not going back to the idolatrous things of this world. They walk with Him through the path that He shows to the glory land that He prepares for them. So it says, he is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not a God of the people who worship the things of this world and get stuck to this world. God is not the God of those who serve this world. He is the God of those who have set their eyes upon the things above and follow Christ all the way. Dear friends, let me tell you, in our love for Christ, in our ardent desire to serve Him, we might lose everything in this world. But when we lose all these things, some people in this world will shake their head and say, so poor thing. I can't imagine he has become such a religious fanatic. Look at that. He sold everything and gave to the poor and followed Christ. He shouldn't be so pitiful. Oh no, he lost his mind. And they will laugh at us. But you see, what Jesus said to the rich young ruler was this, follow me. Give up everything, give to the poor, and follow me. That means I will be your God. I will be your leader. I will be your shepherd. I will bring you home. On the way, I shall comfort you. I will guide you with my hand. God is not ashamed to call their God. He is happy to establish the truth that He is our covenant God. And He will do everything in our journey to heaven to assure us. He will grant us the goodness of His providence. And we will see Him providing, caring for us day by day till we get to heaven. So, my dear friends, fear not. Fear not. Surrender your life to the Lord. There may be bitter experiences. There may be melancholic feelings within us. Yes, the devil can bring us to such depressing moments sometimes through trials. God's servant Job suffered such a thing. But he never gave up his faith. He said, with my own eyes I shall see my Redeemer one day. So that's our hope. We are not afraid of the trials in this world. For God will be with us. And He will bring us to that glory land. Now, as I conclude, let me tell you why this is such a wonderful country that God has prepared for us. Why is it such a beautiful country? I just quickly said this, but let me just say in very brief terms, what is the celestial city is going to be like? It is an exalted, glorious country where the presence of Christ will be seen. It will be a perfectly holy place. No sin shall enter. No wicked man will be there. It will be full of health and abundance. There will be no sickness, no death. It will be a perfectly happy home. No sorrow, no tears. It is an abiding country. Forever we shall live with Him. And therefore it is a better country. Oh, let's look toward the new Jerusalem that the Lord is preparing for us. That's our city. That's our home. So to every sorrowful heart, let me say, in the sweet by and by, let's look to that sweet place. The bitterness of this world, the sadness and sorrow of this world, we will take by God's grace. God will be with us. So don't despair. Keep your eyes upon Christ and His promise of that house that He prepares for us in that far land. And we shall all be there, gathered around the throne of the Lamb to tell Him with adoring and worshipful heart, O Lamb of God, Thou who has been slain for us, Thou art worthy. Honor and glory, praise and might belongeth to Thee. Let us worship Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the hope that You have given to us. We thank You there is no need for us to be moody and sad. Help us to fix our eyes in the eternal hope that Christ has given to us. Help us to rise up from the sorrows and troubles of this world and look to Christ. With thanksgiving, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.